As we prepare our hearts for Christmas, we don't want to miss the message. He came not only as a baby, but he came to give his life for us. Amen. And because of that, we are here today with hope. We're not alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us. Next Sunday is our Christmas program. And Jeanette, would you like to practice with the kids today? She says yes. And young adults. So at this time, if you're in the Christmas program, you may be dismissed with Miss Jeanette. And so next Sunday, we will be having our Christmas program during our morning worship service at 10:30. You want to get the kids' attention, just bring out some Legos. Even though they're gone this morning, they were just all over this saying, what's the Legos about? What are they about? Well, in 1949, a man by the name of Kirk Christensen, who was a Danish individual, born in 1891, he began to create what we know today as Lego blocks. They laughed at him. He was quite the master builder at wooden toys, and he had an idea that he would make toys out of something other than wood. And the people of the time, the toy makers, as well as his own crew, said, it'll never work. He said, well, plastic can offer something that wood cannot, and that is a positive locking system. There's tension created in the blocks that when they lock together, they don't come apart. They stay together. And it is on that platform that Mr. Christensen continued to build his Lego empire. I read some stats today. You can look it up on Wikipedia. I think there's like 520 billion Lego pieces that have been created since 1949. Quite an empire. The Danish phrase, leg got, was used to create the word that we know as Lego today. It meant play well. Play well. Not only to play well that brothers and sisters could play well, but also that you could build on what you had already built. Quite a concept. Legos, interlocking system. If you have your Bibles this morning and would like to turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, I'd like to read it for us this morning. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 48. In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. And before you go on, Brad, a couple similarities between what happened last week with Joseph being visited by an angel. Remember what Joseph's response was? He was troubled. And now Mary being visited by an angel, her response is, she's troubled. Okay, go ahead, Brad. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Lord, open our minds to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Part of the genius of Legos, and by the way, if you want to be ahead at Christmas time, buy Legos. I don't know of a kid that doesn't like Legos. I received Legos several times during my growing up years at Christmas, and I always loved them. I wasn't so much into the kits. You know, you get a prepackaged picture on the front, and back when I was getting Legos, you got a box. Now, the boxes that I had, they were the little kind. These are for, like, our little granddaughter, Lizzie. They're big enough for her fingers. They're Duplo, double the size. One of the things that is interesting about Mary's response is that when she answered Jesus, she settled the question. And that's the title of my message this morning, Mary Answered. Kind of a spin-off of our sermon series about Jesus, verb, noun, verb. Last week, Joseph woke. Today, Mary answered. It's interesting that when we have been given an option by God to obey or to not, the settling occurs when we say yes to Him. And it is in that settling where the confusion is resolved and we say a complete final yes to God and the pieces of our life come together with God's plan and it interlocks. And we can build on that plan without fear of it coming apart. Well, there's so much in this text that I'd like to talk to you about this morning, but I'm just going to skim through a few little phrases first, and then we're going to get to some real meat this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, by the way, Elizabeth and Zechariah had kind of given up on the fact that they really wanted kids. And here an angel came and visited Zechariah, and remember what Zechariah said? And Elizabeth, they kind of chuckled because they were like, when the angel said, you're going to have a baby, they went, and as a result, Zechariah couldn't speak for the remainder of the pregnancy until John the Baptist was born. You see, God intervenes in ordinary life. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, a divine messenger came to visit Mary. God sent Gabriel, a divine messenger. We've been talking about divine interruptions. It started a couple weeks ago when we had the scene played out in front of our eyes in the book, in the Bible, where the disciples are all in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is just about to happen. He says, pray. He says, so that you will be prepared for what is coming. And as he's still speaking, Judas comes. And he interrupts Jesus while he's still speaking, and he kisses him on the cheek. And we've talked about, we don't want to interrupt God. Who of us has the authority to interrupt when he's speaking? Amen? And how we have come to welcome his divine interruptions. Lord, interrupt my life anytime you want to, because what you've got going is always better than what I got going. Amen? Amen, Cheryl? Lord, interrupt me at any time. One of the most beautiful things that we can do as disciples of Christ is to welcome his interruptions. Is to welcome when our plan gets crashed. Or what we thought. Remember Joseph's great plan last week? When he received this news that Mary sat him down and said, you need to sit down for this. I'm pregnant. And immediately a plan began to form in his mind that he would divorce her privately. He didn't want to bring her disgrace, and God intervened. Now, Joseph could have went on with his own plan, but he heeded the divine interruption. What great advice for us today as well. Amen. Verse 27, Scripture tells us that Mary's response to the angel was, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." This was more than just a matter of record or a matter of fact about who Mary was. It reflected a commitment that she had made to God, that she had made to her parents, and that she had made to her future husband. The angel said, "Greetings to you, Mary, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And in spite of that great news, as the plan began to unfold, Mary got nervous. And the Scripture says that she was troubled in her spirit when she heard from the angel of God that she was going to be pregnant, even though she was a virgin, and even though she was going to carry the Christ child, she was troubled in her spirit. You ever been there? God has what is next for you, and it's going to cost you something. But to live in the blessing is always worth it. Always worth the cost. Mary was troubled. And Joseph was troubled by it all too. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God." This word "blessed" in the Greek literally means to speak or cover what is beneficial. It's where we get our word eulogy from. God is speaking a benefit or a blessing on Mary, that she is to be blessed. This phrase, "found favor," is common in the Old Testament. It refers to God's chosen act to show people His favor, to act on people's behalf. Verse 31 says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Well, Elizabeth and Zechariah were way too old to have kids. And Mary and Joseph had never been together physically, so that was impossible. But what is impossible with man is always possible with God. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. No word from God will ever fail. Impossible. It's the same word used in Genesis when God told Elizabeth or Sarah that she would give birth to a son. Impossible because her and her husband, Abraham, were well past the age of childbearing. Listen to Elizabeth's words in Luke chapter 1, verse 45. "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I want to pull out a couple words there. It's "she and believed." She and believed. So, what does Mary's virgin birth and Mary's willingness to be the mother of Jesus have to do with my life tomorrow morning when I go back to work? What does it have to do with your life? Mary's willingness and Mary's belief. Well, fact is, there's a simple truth of God taught here. And what I want to show you is not only that the words and promises that God gives to us are eternal, but what I want to show us through the Word this morning is that when we receive His Word into us, like Mary did, like Elizabeth did, like Sarah did, when we receive His promise and we say, "May it be to me as you have said," we become blessed. Can you hear me all the way back? When we receive the Word, we become blessed and become productive in the harvest fields of life. Our Scripture says this morning that no word of God will fail. Now let's go to Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 20. You ready to get into some meat this morning? Amen? All right, let's get into some meat. I can serve milk up here, but if you'd rather have that, no, I know you want to get get into the Word this morning. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 6 here, and then we'll go all the way through verse 20. Listen, Jesus is saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? He goes on to explain. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed among the path, where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. The parallel account of this is found in Matthew chapter 13. If you'd like to turn there, you'll see Matthew's record of it is a little bit different, but in essence, the same record as Jesus shares this parable and then he explains it to his disciples. We'll talk about both this morning. The seed of his word. Let's talk about that for a minute. The seed of his word, the seed of his promise. What God says he will do, he will do. Amen. Isn't that good news this morning, that God's word will never fail? His word will never return void. When God says something and puts something in motion, it will always be in motion until he stops it. God's word will never return void. The seed of his word in you and in me will never rot. His word is truth. Sometimes the fulfillment of that word takes a while. I mean, it takes a little while for us to get in a place where we say yes to him and begin to cultivate and be that good soil that produces that crop. It's like a farmer when we receive the word who goes out to sow the seed. His word in us. Matthew uses the word, instead of farmer, he says the Son of Man goes out to sow his seed. That's Jesus. For a long time I read the parable about the farmer and the accounts of Matthew and Mark with a little bit of, I'm embarrassed to say, kind of a shallow understanding of it. I just assumed that the seed was the word of God. Well, it is. But there's a second equally powerful truth in the parable. The second equally powerful truth taught by Jesus in the parable is that when we receive the word, like good soil receiving good seed, when we receive the word, we become blessed and productive, multiplying the crop 50, 100 times over. not just adding to the kingdom, but multiplying exponentially. So yes, the seed is the word of God, and hear me now, this is what I had missed for years. The seed is the word of God, and the seed is the people of God as they receive the blessing. In other words, as Mary answered, Jesus answered the angel and said, "May it be to me as you have said," she received his word. Now, here's the thing. We can go through life hearing the word and hearing the promise, but never receive it. We could spend our lives going to revival services and going to church services and hearing the word, but never receiving it. And like Mary saying, "May it be to me as you have said." And until we receive the promise, until we receive the seed, we'll miss the blessing. As the promise is spoken to Mary and Elizabeth, they received the seed as good ground receives good seed. And they are blessed. And in so receiving the word or the promise, they become the blessing. Anybody remember what the Greek word for word is? I'll give you a hint. Lego. Legos. Okay. I'm building on this. I got something brewing here. Put that in your... Don't forget it. Okay. As God promised Abraham, remember the promise that God gave Abraham? He said, Now remember the angel came to Abraham and said, you're going to have a baby. And Abraham and Sarah both went, "We're so old. Can't be." But what did they end up doing? They ended up receiving his blessing, his word, his promise. And as a result, God said to Abraham, "I will bless you, and through you all nations of the world will be blessed." See, there's a difference between hearing the word and doing the word. We can hear the word all day long, but until we become doers of the word, like James says, or like a man who looks at his reflection in the mirror and then immediately as he turns away forgets what he looks like. But to receive the word, in other words, as Mary did, Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said," she became blessed. Look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. "Abraham will surely become a great, powerful nation, and all nations of the earth will be blessed through him." Let's look back at Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Notice in the parable of the farmer who went out to scatter his seed. He says, "Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them." And in Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus explains the parable to his thick-headed disciples, he explains to them that the weed seed represents people. Not just the word, but the word embodied in people. When they rejected the word, they became weed seed. Are you all with me? And as that weed seed was scattered among the good seed, the weed seed grew up along with the wheat seed. But instead of producing a crop and a harvest of exponential value, the weed seed was only producing weeds, which the farmer came, gathered up, and threw into the fire to be burned. The contrast is striking. We have in Matthew chapter 13 that the seed scattered on the ground by the devil is weed seed. Doesn't he love to scatter weed seed in our life? Huh? And as a result, that has no blessing or production. If we grab a hold of his word, the devil's word, it's only going to produce ashes because there's nothing there. Here's the contrast. Jesus sowing good word equals good seed, equals blessing and exponential blessing and production. Satan sowing bad seed equals no blessing, equals no production, equals being burned in the fire. God blesses those who receive his word and his promise. As we receive his word and promise, we multiply exponentially the blessings of the kingdom, not only in our lives, but to all nations of the world. We embody the promise of Abraham that God will bless all nations through us. Listen to Elizabeth as she relishes this blessing in her life. This is Elizabeth talking in Luke chapter 1, verses 44 through 45. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby who was six months in her womb, the baby in her womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with joy, filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to visit me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." And then listen, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished." Blessed is she, in other words, who receives the word. You see, I see a lot of people all the time, I encounter them all the time, who want God's blessing, but they refuse to receive his word. They want to live a life that is a life that they envision being blessed by God, having material possessions and having a family that everybody loves each other and all of these things. And yet, when God gives them a word for how to accomplish that, they reject the word because it's going to mean a pregnancy and it's going to mean a painful birth. To see that word come to fruition in the promise. Mary, in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, says this, "I am the Lord's servant," as she responds to the angel. Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. As we receive his word in us, we too become children of the promise. This promise is much bigger than Living Well Church. It's much bigger than your individual blessing. It is the blessing of God on the people of God. And as we live in it this morning, we are blessed. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 7 through 8. I'm coming in for a landing. "If you remain in me," Jesus said, "and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you." Boy, that's a blessing, isn't it? Wow. I'm not making this stuff up. It's Jesus talking. "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit," multiplying 100 times, "showing yourselves to be my disciples," my followers, the receivers of my promise, my word. Good seed received by good soil. God's promise to us, his promises are built on this ancient precedent. This is the same God and the same promise. The Bible says that no word from God will ever fail. Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." The angel said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. This is the same idea covered in Exodus when the people of Israel were out wandering in the desert. And God said, I will send a cloud that overshadows you, the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord will fill the temple. It's the idea of being covered. In the psalmist, it's recorded as this, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. In his faithfulness, he will be your strength and rampart. Used over 1,000 times in the New Testament alone, the word answered is the Greek word lego. Now, I've drawn a parallel here to help us remember. The creator of Legos wasn't thinking Lego. He was Danish. He wasn't Greek. But the Greek word for Mary answered is Lego. It's where we get, it's the root word is Legos. The word in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Let's sing that again. As we think about the blessing that God wants to pour out on us, will we receive? In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Mary and Joseph both were faced with being ostracized by their community simply because they were saying yes to God. People wouldn't always understand. They wouldn't believe, but they were willing. And when I am alone, and when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. I'd like to read a blessing. Riley, would you continue playing? Would you raise your hands to receive the blessing this morning? Maybe you'd like to stand. To stand in His presence to receive this blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit to move in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you to protect and keep you. Be blessed with His strength to turn your eyes from foolish, worthless, and evil things. Instead, may you behold the beauty of things that God has planned for you to obey as you obey His word. I bless your ears to hear the lonely, the lovely, the uplifting, the encouraging, and to shut out the demeaning and negative. May your feet walk in holiness and your steps be ordered by the Lord. May your hands be tender, helping hands to those in need, hands that bless. May your heart be humble and receptive to the one, to one another, and to the things of God, and not the things of the world. May your mind be strong, disciplined, balanced, and faith-filled. God's grace be upon your home, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace, where sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls, where love and unconditional acceptance of one another is consistent. God give you success and prosperity in your business and places of labor, as you acknowledge and follow Scripture concerning giving. God give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and visions. May God's goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord's face, make His face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' name. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Amen. A couple of announcements as we close this morning. One is that we have a bunch of stuff over there that needs to go downstairs. And if you have some time immediately following the service this morning, we could really use your help as we prepare for the Christmas program next week. And then I had one other announcement. The Christmas program is next week, and this Wednesday night is Connect, Celebrate Recovery, and ministries for the entire family. So hope to see you on Wednesday night. May God bless you and keep you. Thank you, Mark. Practice for Christmas program at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning as well. Let's pray together and be dismissed. Lord, we thank you today for your blessing. We receive your blessing now. We receive, Lord, in full acknowledgement that you will change our life as a result of our receiving your word and your promise. Lord, may we now be a blessing to those around us and to those all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you so much for being here. The guys are going to go ahead and come up and meet for those of you who can, and get this stuff moved downstairs if you're able to do that this morning. May God bless you. Have a great week.